2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6, it reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." This morning we will be looking at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, and we'll work through verse 11. The reason I do open up with 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is the importance to understand that the knowledge of God and our obedience will conquer and kill the sin and disobedience in our life. We're going to be looking at the war this morning, a war that is happening and that is waging against our flesh. It's waging against the Spirit. I want to thank Mike before I move forward for setting up, giving us the reminder, the challenge, and the good news that the work of Christ atoned all of the sin in this world. And the victory comes alone from Christ and His work. Thank you, brother, for last week's message. Joseph and Jason, working through Romans chapter 8, we've been reminded often of this warfare and this fight that is going on between our flesh and the Spirit. There's no doubting. It is clear that there is spiritual warfare. And the hard reality this morning that I bring to the forefront is many of us aren't fighting. We're not fighting. As a friend and as a brother, most importantly in Christ, and as a pastor, it's alarming. As I worked out this passage and this scripture in my heart, my goal this morning is not to suck the grace out of life. Because it's going to be very easy for us as we look at this passage to sit there on this teeter-totter, if you will, of my flesh doing works and the Spirit of God working in me. I need to do this. I need to do this to be more righteous. And before you know it, we suck the grace out of life, but also we suck the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit completely out of our lives because we find ourselves in this works-based faith. And then we find ourselves, most damaging of all, failing. We must rely on the Spirit, and we'll talk more about that. However, we do know there's this freedom to choose. We have this freedom that God's given us as we look at this war this morning that we are called to fight in. We have this freedom to choose to set our minds on things that are temporal or set our minds on things that are eternal. To set our mind on things of the flesh or to set our minds on things that are life-giving, the Spirit of God. You will have to make that decision this morning. The war is happening. The fight is alive and active. You can look at the media, you can look at just our circles and see the good and the bad. You can see the evil aiming to strangle all things that are good and righteous in the eyes of God. We see it in our children. We see it in ourselves. We see it in our coworkers. The war is waging with or without us. So I say to this morning, as a messenger of Christ, there's a real concern about those of us, including myself, that at times we choose not to wage war against the flesh and set our minds on things of the Spirit. We choose not to go to war and battle against the dark world. We allow it to reign in areas of our life. We choose not to go against the spiritual forces of evil. It sounds somewhat like a Star Wars movie. But it is happening. There's good and evil working against each other and us all the time. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 6 describes it as the adversary prowling around like a lion seeking to devour you and I. It continues to teach us to resist it, to resist this lion, to resist this sin in our lives, to stand firm in our faith. So this morning, this crippling reality that many of us reject, spiritual warfare. Many of us reject it for really a very common reason. We've seen it been blown out of proportion in the lives of certain people. We've seen it blown out of proportion in the lives of friends and family. And what I mean by that, we've seen it in today's American church and Christianity, specific bodies of Christ, take advantage of spiritual warfare to gain a dollar. We can look at the TVs. We can look online. We look at spiritual warfare and we put it in the supernatural realm where it belongs. But for some reason, the enemy has created in our minds that we are not to play a part in this war. That if we, okay, follow with me. If we simply just know the word, that we're going to be okay. Now, the word of God, yes, is crucial. It is the sword by which we fight. It is that part of the armor that God has given us to fight with. But when we take the word of God and disconnect it to just the knowledge and not the power of the Spirit, we will lose. So there will be a call to action this morning to get in the fight, church. It will eat you alive. And if you're on the sidelines not fighting, it's already won or winning. We have to have a healthy balance of the crippling reality that there is spiritual warfare happening in our lives. We have to. So the aim of today's text as we look at Romans chapter 8, starting in verses 5, is we'll see it in two parts. We'll see it in two parts. And then as we learn about those two parts, it's going to present to us two kinds of people. And in these two kinds of people, there will be two rewards. So as we walk in this passage, I said a moment ago that we need to have a biblical balance of what the spiritual warfare working out us, in us, and around us daily looks like. We have to. But then we need to be assured when we walk away, be reminded in chapter 7 of Paul's battle that we just walked through. We're not alone. It's been happening for the ages. Then we were reminded last week of the atoning work and victory in Jesus Christ. So we need to walk away this morning assured and hopeful that the triumph is only brought to us by the power of Jesus Christ. We are at war, and Christ is the victory. Are you fighting? Let's pray. God, as we're here this morning to hear your word, as an ambassador of your word, as your truth, I pray right now that the church yields to this warning. That they take responsibility and accountability to set our minds on things that are above. To arm ourselves with the good news. To arm ourselves with the word. To pray, to fast, to commune with the church and be warriors in this battle. As parents trying to raise up young warriors, teach us, Father. As spouses trying to love each other, teach us, Father. Trying to be the church, teach us, Father, right now. Holy Spirit, we need you, your deep, convicting work in all of our lives so that we can experience the victory that you promised us on this side of heaven. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and if you have your scriptures, your Bible with you, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, for you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Wow. Two parts. First one, 5-8 verses. Second, we'll pick up in verse 9 and finish in 11. So we look at this passage right away. The first group of people, or the first, the first kind that I want to give to you in the first part are simple, real simple message. You can read it for yourself. Those who are led by sinful nature. By the end of this message, you're going to be able to place yourself in one of these two categories, these two kinds of people. But we look in that first verse, it says to set our mind. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. So before we move forward, because we're going to look at setting our mind on things of the flesh and setting our minds on things of the Spirit of life, I want to talk about the setting of our minds. And I summed it up after looking at different commentaries and just give it to you short and sweet here: to think continually and have a constant desire. To think continually about something and have a constant desire. When I was reading this and talking about this, setting our minds on things of the flesh and setting our minds on things of the Spirit that give life, I was like, what have I set my mind on in this life that has radically changed the way I do things? Even the outcome of my life. And the first thing that came to mind, besides the work of Christ in me, was my wife. My wife. You know, it's a good love story. I think it's a good love story. Some of you guys know the 5-year story. Some of you know the short little bits. But one thing was for sure, I was determined. I was determined. And you can ask her, to the point to where I scared her. Yeah. But I was determined that I was going to win her heart. I set my mind on the goal line prize. I did, and it was easy to, I can tell you that. Whew. Set my mind on that goal line prize, and I didn't see anything else, and I didn't look back. Did we have our bumps? Yes. Did we have our breakups? Yes. But the reality is, when I set my mind on winning Melissa's heart, it bent me. It bent me in a way, everything about me. Almost to the point where, like, Casey, you're sick. I know I'm sick. I'm love sick. I want this girl. I don't care. Put it this way, I went to the mall because she worked at Pampos. I never went to the mall. I went to the Spectrum gym because she made me a peanut butter smoothie. I didn't work out. I just went to the gym, got my peanut butter smoothie, and moved on. She really, honestly, physically changed everything about me. It's important for us to see that, because it was a continual thinking and desire that bent me to do things to win her heart. When I think about us in Christ, I think about the bride, you and I, that we just sang about. Thank you, Joe and Ange. To hear your bride sing. When we are wooed by the grace of God, it will bend us. And he challenges us here today to set our mind on this love. To set our mind on this grace. Set our mind on this hope that gives life and peace. In my relationship, it changed the course of my daily routine. And now we have a wonderful 4 children. We have friends and family because of what God did, but more importantly, the Spirit in our lives will do the same. As life-giving as our marriage looks, and as hard as it is, and how enjoyable it is, the Spirit of God has more for us. I want you this morning to take that. I want you to begin to flesh out, I use that word flesh instead of flush, flesh out what's going on in your life that's stopping you from being wooed by the Spirit of God, by His Word, by His majesty, by His goodness. Same way that husbands, our wives did for us, and wives, the husbands did for you. Christ desires the same things spiritually. But the reality is, as Paul's talking in this passage, that there is two options to set our minds on things that are flesh and things that are of the Spirit. And the goal line prize, if we set our mind on either or, there will be rewards. And we'll talk about those in just a moment. So I want to look at looking at these passages in verses 5 through 8. I want to look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." So as we look at these two different kinds of people, one that has mind set on simple desires and one that's set on the Spirit, I want to look at marks in their life. So the marks of those who are led by sinful nature, their flesh. The first mark I want to bring to the front, looking at verse 7, is their heart's condition. Their heart condition as one who worships their sinful nature, that may be lost, one who may be oppressed. They can't set their minds on the things that are of God. They can't please Him because they are hostile towards Him. They're hostile towards God. They can't even submit to God's law because they aren't in Christ. They can't submit to God's law because they don't understand it. They don't. They choose not to. So the condition of a person who desires their sinful nature and flesh, their heart, is the most important and pivotal piece, the most eternal, valuable piece, because the heart that is changed by the work of Christ will set its mind on things of flesh. So as we look through these different marks, you have to ask the question, am I here? Am I in this category? Am I lost? This morning, do I really know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Though I appreciate you choosing to come and worship with the saints, but there's plenty who do that across this nation who do not know God as Father, who do not know Him and submit to Him and worship Him and allow the Holy Spirit to fill Him. There's people across the churches. I'm tempted with the very same things. So this is not a high horse. This is equal to all of us. But as an ambassador and messenger, I tell you this morning that there is a gospel, children. Look at me real quick. I know you're doing your pages. We talk about this on Wednesday night, that there's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it changes our heart deeply. It changes us to the place that we're, when we act out, the way we respect our parents, the way we love our friends, and the way we treat our brothers and sisters, it gives us these things and teaches us how to be graceful, and it teaches us how to love. And the only reason we know these things is because of what Jesus did. And we talk about how He conquered and He gave us the victory over sin. So to the children I share to you, but also to those who are non-believing in this room, for those who are non-believing listening to the podcast, repent today. Examine your heart, even as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Repent of those things that we are putting in the place where God belongs. Make sure our heart's condition is righteous. But the reality of the mark of those who are led by the sinful nature is their heart is hostile towards God. And when you're hostile towards God, another mark of a non-believer or those who are living by sinful nature is one who has idols. Now, Christians have idols as well, trust me. But the reality is of a non-believer is that there is a true God, and that true God is themselves. How tempting is that? Every time we look in the mirror to get dressed, that's okay, I'm telling you. But when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we are looking at the largest idol that could potentially be in our lives. And we have to be cautious of how tricky and how quick the enemy is. Not that I'm saying it's not okay to get pretty and get good and fix the hair, because I work hard at it. But the reality is we've got to make sure that we have the good things in the right place and not the God in the place where God belongs. Make sure that when you look at your heart's condition and the mark of a sinful person who is working out the desires of their flesh, is they're going to have gods, multiple gods, lowercase g gods. They're going to have idols in their life because they're not worshiping the true God. And then we see in verse 6 is when you turn your life towards the flesh leads on to death. Their reward, our reward, when we put our desires and set our mind on things that are sinful and grieve God, the reward will be death. It might not be physical death here on this earth, but we all know that if there's something that is imposing in our relationships, if there's pride, whether it's things that we should not be looking at on the internet, whether it's things that we're viewing on TV, whether it's things that we're eating and drinking, all the different things we can place into this melting pot of sin and small gods. If it is reigning in our life, it is going to bring death to that area of your life, if not bring death to you on this earth. And by God, please, if it will not bring. I just can't imagine this morning if you're sitting here and it brings eternal death and separation from God the Father, because his message is good and is gracious. But it will. Sin leads to death. Look at verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So we got the bad news there, and then we've got the good news. That bad news, and then we got the good news. You know, we can't have the good news without the bad news. So we need to set our minds on things that are righteous. But if we set our mind on sin, it leads to suffocation. Now right here, sin will strangle anything it can get its hands around. And we know that. We've seen it in our lives. We've seen it in the people we love. But the good news here, church, moving and transitioning into verse 9, we know that in those first few verses that we set our mind on the Spirit, on the flesh is going to get death, but in verse 6, the Spirit is life and peace. This good news is that those who live by the life of the Spirit have peace. So we keep looking at this interchangeable argument and detailed account that Paul's writing, and this wrestle and this war that's taking place that we are obviously in. Keep examining where you're at today. You're probably going to be areas of your life, you're like, well, I'm kind of more over here. Areas in my life, I'm kind of more over here. Crucify that. Kill it. It's healthy to examine your life holistically, because the reality is you're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. You can't have both. You can't have both and worship the true God. Because our Holy Father will have nothing to do with the sin that leads to death. Because he knows that that sin put Christ on the cross. It's the same sin that led Jesus to the cross. It is our sin. It is the sin that he took with him to the cross, us with him to the cross. Yes, the good news is that we can live this life full of the Spirit. We can have this peace. But in an instant, we find ourselves entangled by this pursuit of sin. And we're suffocating. The sin is trying to suppress you, because it knows that if it can suppress you, you do not experience that victory that Christ has already given you. But I want to encourage you this morning that there is this hope. There is this peace. And look at verses 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. A quick note there. Did you see how interchangeable there? You got Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. When I read that, I was just assured of this Trinity, assured of them working together as one. And not just assured that they're working together as one for God's glory, but working together in my life to experience victory. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and His work, and the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And look later in that passage, it talks about that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, church, is the same Spirit that will give us life in these mortal bodies. We're decaying. My body is not getting any better. We all know that. You know that your body's not getting any better because of the power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give our mortal bodies life. What does that look like? Let's look at the marks of someone who's walking in the Spirit. We'll look at the marks of someone who's walking led by the Spirit and the life of the Spirit. And really, it contrasts the ones we just mentioned about those who walk in the flesh. Those who walk in the Spirit, we have been corrected in our hearts. We've been corrected in our hearts to make our condition righteous. So we know that this work has changed us. And when we've been corrected in our hearts and in this position to make our hearts righteous before God, now we have perspective. Not a perspective that this world is, the system of this world is entangled with, but a perspective of eternity, an eternal perspective. Yes, though my outward appearance of this mortal body is decaying and growing old, I now have the power of Christ in me to live in this victory. And how does that look? Our perspectives change. Going to work is different for us. It should be. We are ambassadors of this victory in Jesus Christ. Parenting should look greatly and vastly different than one who is a non-believing parent. They should be able to look at our actions to our children and see the grace of God. They should look at our marriages and look at, that's what I want. Why do they want that marriage? Because Christ has changed us, has given us new perspective, has given us this life-breathing ability because of the power in us, not the mortal physical. Because we joked about this, the analogy, gravity's going to set in. We're going to grow old. We're going to look different. But the inner workings of our heart's condition, our perspective, and our eternal focus just grows. And there is such sweet victory in that. And that corrects us to worship the one true God. When we set our mind, continually desire things that are of the Spirit, we worship the one true God, not just in song on Sunday morning, but in our work ethic, in our parenting, in everything that encompasses us as a physical body here on earth, honors and glorifies and wants to obey and just experience that life-giving freedom, peace, that comes by walking in the Spirit of God, to being led by the Spirit and that power dwelling in us. It corrects our worship, and we, when it corrects our worship to the one true God, we have a wholeness. Think about this wholeness that overcomes when you have a peace that you know you live in a broken world, but you're satisfied. You're satisfied in all that God gives you and what He has given you. That's how that victory begins to work itself out of our mortal bodies. It's like, yes, I'm trying to parent this little self-sovereign sinner, but I'm going to figure it out because God is working in me. God has given me the ability. Our perspectives change when we start worshiping this righteous God. And Paul's just urging this war that's going on that if we don't find ourselves, we're going to find ourselves doing either or. Worshiping flesh or worshiping God, the Father, and the Spirit. And that Spirit dwelling in us will give us strength. That Spirit dwelling in us, our reward, may be temporal here, death to our physical bodies, but you and I, in our reward, have life. Not just life in perspective, but life eternally. Those are two vastly different things. Walking by the nature, sinful nature, and walking in the Spirit dwelling in us. So where this morning are you? Are you acquiring this strength and this power that God's given us? It's going to get very practical here, and we knew this going into this message. We're going to hammer it out with some very clear practicalities here, but when we get practical, we have to be careful, church, that we do not give in to us working it out, but trusting the power. Do never remove ourselves from the power, from the source, the Spirit of the living God. He is the one that's going to give us the ability and has already given us the ability to be victorious over the sin and the flesh in our life. So let's combat sin together. I want to give you three ways real quickly. Know the sin. You need to know the sin in your life. As you're working out this war in your life of flesh and spirit, know the sin. And the way you know the sin is the Word reveals it. The law reveals it. Make that priority, church. Let the Word work in you and wash over you to cleanse you and correct you by the power of the living God and the Spirit. Stalk the sin. We talk about that whole imagery of the lion waiting to devour. We've seen National Geographic enough to watch how it acts. I don't have to get up here and show you. But the reality is that sin is stalking you. You can't get away from it. The system of this world is a big ball of stalking sin waiting to devour you because the enemy has set it in motion against us because there's a war happening. And today, I want to give you that warning that in this war, we must stalk the sin because it is stalking us. And as Pastor Joseph was so clear about, the reason that sometimes we allow the sin to take over our lives is because we make peace with the sin. We should not make peace with sin that put Christ on the cross. We should grieve it. We should lose sleep over it. We should lose our appetites over it. These things are important to us. We should recognize it, stalk it, because it is stalking you and I. And then take action. Kill it. Kill it. Don't sit around and linger and think that some supernatural ball of light is going to come, and change it for you. God has given you the thinker, the heart. He's given you the ability to kill it right there on the spot. Remember, though, do not disconnect from the source. Do it all with setting our mind on the Spirit of God. Setting our mind on the life that is given to us by the Spirit. We got to take care of the problem. Let's just be that simple with it. Take care of the problem. It's not going to go away. You have the ability to take care of the problem. But when you take care of the problem, keep your mind on righteousness. And what I say right here, we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. It clearly talks about us setting our minds on things that are above, not on the things that are of this earth. So a real practical note, set your mind on God, know the sin, stalk the sin, take care of the problem, and keep your mind on things that are righteous. Don't give margin. If there's temptation, be cautious. We've got to. The clear reality is that there is war. And we need the Spirit of God to help us. Because when I'm scared and when I thought through this message, we can read these things in the text. That if we set our mind on the Spirit, it will give life because of righteousness. And just sit there. And just hope that something changes. You have an accountability here and a responsibility as a Christ follower to be obedient. To set your mind, have a continual focus, have a continual desire and care for things that are eternal, not temporal here on earth. I go back to my analogy of my wife. Imagine if I set my mind on my wife for an hour. Do you think we'd be here today? No. We won't. When I set my mind and kept it there, it bent me and gave me the ability to live. Same thing with spiritual. If I keep my mind on the things that are righteous, it will bend me to do the will of the Father, and I'll have victory, and I will have assurance of peace, hope, and love, and kindness, and all the wonderful, gracious things that come by walking in the Spirit of God. Because if we're not careful, brother, we are lazy. Spirit's going to do the work. I'm good. Everything's fine. My life's peachy. And we're lazy. It allows us to be lazy. There's freedom there. But that responsibility does not. This call to action this morning to set our minds on things that are holy and righteous does not allow us to sit still. We have accountability to that now that we've heard it and read it and studied it and we see it, that it gives life to us. So these two categories, these two kinds of people, those advancing and moving forward in the flesh, those who are living according to the Spirit, where do you fall this morning? There's going to be areas in your life specifically that you need to address now. You need to pray it. You know that it's sin. There's no debate. You know when it's sin, the conviction's there deep for a believer. Change it. Set your mind on the things that are righteous. The war is real, and it's a reality. We cannot neglect it. As we continue to work in Romans, we're going to get to verses 37 and 39, and it reads, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, through Jesus Christ, who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us, church. Separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord." That's good news. If you aren't fighting this morning, if you are not fighting this morning, you're rejecting that there's even a war. There is a war. Casualness of this knowledge and understanding will have casualties. And it might be your life. It may be your marriage. It may be the direction of children, your work. Remember, sin kills anything. It devours and touches. But this means two things. If you may not recognize that there is a war going on and not taking serious the task as ambassadors and warriors of the gospel, you may not be saved, or you're oppressed and comfortable. The good news, church, is there victory for both in Christ. I'm not sure where you are this morning, and I knew the message would be short and poignant, but there is life that is spirit. The same spirit that raised him from the dead is in us and is dwelling in us and is giving us life. For those of you who are non-believers in here, listening, children, you can't obey God because you don't know God. You may obey the rules that your parents put in your life to help correct you and teach you. But you cannot serve God till you know God. I hope this morning for any of you who do not know God, that you look at your heart and repent. Because currently you're hostile towards God. We don't want that. And I don't share that to scare you. I share that because it's reality. And we live in a time and day and age that we can't just sit here anymore and just hope that things are going to work out. Church, we are in a fight. And I hope this morning you choose to fight. And not fight in your own will, but fight righteously. Fight righteously for what is right for the eyes of God and His glory and His kingdom. Let's pray.